Pray with me as we prepare our hearts for the word tonight. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you know right where we are, each and every one of us, and what we're dealing with, what we're going through, but Lord, also what we're about to face. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that through your word that you would strengthen us, that you would increase our faith, Lord, and that you would just help us, Lord, to rise to the challenges, Lord, and Lord, overcome every battle, every obstacle. I pray, Father, that you would help us, Lord, to rise to the challenge, to do all that you have given us to do, all that you have called us to do. And Father, I just ask for your help tonight to speak your word as you'd have me to, and ask you for hearing ears in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to talk about the unknowns. You know, life is full of unknowns. As we face tomorrow, look to the future, all kinds of unknowns are heading our way. You just think about the things that have happened in the last few years, unexpected things. And life's just that way. There's always things that you didn't know were going to happen. Now, some people, I've met a few that seem to think they know everything, but life can sure throw you a curve and you'll find out sooner or later that you don't. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8 and 2, if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. Now that's one of those verses you could certainly take it out of context and abuse it, but what a strong and powerful principle that if you think you know anything, you don't know nothing yet. Now that's what the Bible says. Hopefully we know more as the years go by, but one of the things that I keep learning is just how little I know, really. Listen, that's not cliche. That's absolutely sincere. And it's not just because I'm forgetting stuff, you know. I mean, I just, the more I know, the more I realize how much I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I barely know my own name, but have you ever been there? I heard about a pastor of a big church. He was asked to go and minister to a lady who had been a member of the church. She was in a nursing home, and so he goes, and he's trying to talk to her, but it's not going very well because she just won't pay him any attention at all. And just in desperation, finally he says, "Ma'am, do you know who I am?" She says, "No, sir, but if you'll go over to that desk, they can tell you." Well, hopefully we know our name, but I want you to understand tonight, there's just a lot of things that we don't know in this life, a lot of things that are going to happen, a lot of things that we're going to face that we don't know about, all kinds of changes. You know, that's one of those things you can count on in life, is that things will change, and if you don't think that they are, we just get you a picture of yourself 10 years ago, in spite of what your friends say. And if you still don't think so, we'll just look a little closer. Things change. Change is one of those things that brings so many unknowns to us, and it can be so unsettling. You know, what's going to happen? How's this going to work? How are things going to be? You know, moving into a new building as a church, there's a lot of unknowns, and it's been fun, it's been exciting, but a lot of unknowns and still more unknowns to come. But, you know, when you change jobs, when you move to a new town, how are things going to work out? You graduate from high school. Well, I don't guess we have high schoolers in here, but start a new career. How's this going to work? What's going to happen? Yeah, some of you mom and dad's got high schoolers, and you're like, you're heading into an unknown as they go off to college or they leave the house, starting a new career. Well, just for fun. Human resource person was interviewing a young engineer fresh out of MIT, and he says, "Now, what kind of salary are you looking for?" And the kid says, "Well, somewhere in the neighborhood of $150,000 a year, depending on the benefits." Well, the interviewer, he said, well, what would you say to 5 weeks of paid vacation, 14 paid holidays, full medical and dental, company matching retirement fund to 50% of salary, and a company car leased every 2 years, say a red Corvette? Well, the engineer set up. He was all excited. He said, man, are you kidding? And the interviewer said, yeah, but you started it. You know, it just illustrates to us, sometimes things don't go the way you think they're going to go, right? And the unknowns of life just bring a sense of uncertainty. Another unknown for some is, do I really have what it takes to be successful in this business? For some, it's not the unknowns of change, but it's the unknowns of same. Like, how long will I be in this situation? How long will I be stuck in this job? An unknown. Or here's another unknown. When will I meet that special someone? The Lord knows, right? What's going to happen with this relationship? Just talking about some unknowns. Will we get married? Getting married. Now, there's a big unknown. All kinds of unknowns when you get married. You know, Sunday school teacher's asking her class, he's trying to teach him about the commandment, thou shalt not steal. She says, now here's an example. She says, if I reach into a man's pocket and pull out his wallet with all of his money, what would I be? One little boy hollers out, his wife. Well, there's a lot of unknowns in marriage and a lot of surprises. Anybody had any surprises in marriage? Yeah. And I just like to go on record and saying that all of my surprises have been positive surprises. Y'all laughing. Because you know. For some, it's uncertainty. It's unknown whether or not their marriage will last. Will we get divorced? Divorce, now there's a big unknown. After years and years of marriage, or maybe even decades, some people get divorced. What's going to happen? You talk about an unknown. Sometimes life kind of goes as planned. Isn't that nice? We're pretty sure how things are going to go. But there's always this element of surprise and endless possibilities and turns that could happen at any moment. And when we think we just have it all figured out, it's amazing how life will show us once again that we don't. And here's a passage from James chapter 4, I think is one that Christians need to remember and take note of. And it just has some great wisdom for us. James chapter 4, verse 13 through 16 says, come now, you who say tomorrow or today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Now, I want to tell you, you don't have to preface every single thing that you say with, if the Lord wills. If the Lord wills, I'm going to go to work in the morning. If the Lord wills, I'm going to have lunch. If the Lord wills, I'm going to go home tonight. If the Lord wills, you don't have to say that before everything you do, all right? But he's talking about in the big plans of life that we shouldn't make plans. Really, here's the point. We shouldn't make plans without the Lord. You need to know what the Lord's will is. We need to be trying to find God's will. And when we just presume or assume and we just say, well, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, you find out real quick how that life can just hand you some unknowns, things you didn't know were going to happen. And all of a sudden, your plans are all messed up. People get really disillusioned with life when they think they got it all figured out, and then things don't go as planned. They just go a totally different way. In fact, I just got to say, a lot of Christians, let me just bring this home to us tonight, to believers. A lot of believers get really disillusioned with God and with faith and their whole Christian experience when things blow up or things don't go the way that they thought they would. And that's, I hope you understand, that's where I'm going with this tonight. Church, we need to know how to deal with the unknowns of life where we don't just make it, but we get stronger in God. And those things that happen, the unknowns, the unexpected things, that they don't wipe us out. But we just keep going on with the Lord. You know, I see a lot of that. James called it arrogance. I see a lot of that kind of arrogance where people just boast and brag and say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I just want to encourage you that you better be talking about something that you know that God has put in your heart, because if it's just you talking, you're headed for trouble. It's kind of like this guy, Jesus illustrates this for us in Luke chapter 12, 16 through 20. He spoke a parable to them saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? In other words, no matter about all his planning, in just a moment, in an instant, it's all over. It's all gone. Now, I don't want anybody to get the idea that you shouldn't make plans. You should make plans. But you need to get God's plans. We just got to make sure that we're following his will. Listen, and when we know it's his will, then we pray for his will to come to pass. Amen? That's what the scripture teaches. Jesus taught us to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And 1 John tells us that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that we've received the petitions that we've asked of him. So you got to pray according to the will of God. And you pursue after it. Go after it, praying and believing, pursuing the will of God in your life. I don't want anybody to go away from this service tonight feeling hopeless because you don't know what's going to happen. Just the opposite. We need to have faith and believe God for great things. Listen, but there's a big difference between faith and assumption. Faith is taking God at his word. Faith is believing what God has promised and standing on the promises of God. Presumption or assumption, it's just taking things for granted. Not really believing God, just kind of taking things for granted. And I'm telling you, it's important that you're standing on the promises of God and expecting and believing for great things. But you know what? Even when you're believing God, now, you need to hear this over and over and over again, because I'm telling you, no matter how many times we hear it, when it happens, we always seem surprised, or most everybody does, I'm just telling you. Even when you're believing God, a lot of the time, it's going to look like things just blow up and fall apart and everything is messed up. I didn't get one amen, but I'm telling you, if you've ever believed God for a real miracle, a lot of the time, most of the time, it gets worse before it gets better. I mean, you just consider Abraham and Sarah. I mean, it's one thing, we're 75, that's pretty bad. Well, when you're 100, it's just worse. You still haven't had that promised son. It just was getting worse every year. And I'm telling you, for a lot of people, when things go from bad to worse, they get disillusioned and they give up. And I'm telling you, even when the unknowns, the unexpected things happen and you're standing and believing God, you need to be prepared for that. You need to know that God is still God, that he'll come through for you. The unknowns of life are just part of life that we got to learn to trust God with, even when we're believing God. It's amazing how often things take a turn in a different direction. Listen, and a lot of the time, isn't this just the way it is that God accomplishes His will in our lives a different way than what we thought He should do it? I went to Central Bible College, also known as Central Bridal College. I went to a school with 500 Spirit-filled Christian young women, all looking for a preacher husband. Didn't hardly even date anybody or nothing. Then I go to youth pastor a little bitty church. How am I ever going to meet any girls now? I mean, the girls that are my age, they're probably part of the youth group. I had the junior high through college age. How am I going to meet any girls? Do you know God can just work a miracle, bring the right one by. In a singing group one night on a Sunday night, and we shook hands with 25 teenagers standing around watching. I'm just telling you, God does things so often in a way that we don't expect. You know, in your prayer when you're telling Him what He needs to do and how to do it, and then He doesn't do it that way at all. But here's the point, though. In the unknowns of life, you can still trust Him. You can still count on Him. You can still rest in Him. See, there's a lot of things you don't know. You think you do know? What did it say? You don't know nothing yet. But here's something that you can know. It's Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And I've seen it over and over and over again, that when people love God and they're following after the purpose of God in their life, that somehow, some way, God will work it all together for their good. If you just trust Him. In fact, you know, if we just trust Him, we can enjoy the ride. And I hope you get that out of this message tonight. Because, listen, most of our society is living in fear and anxiety over the unknowns. What's going to happen? What's going to happen with the economy? What's going to happen with our government? What's going to happen with the Ukraine and Israel? And what's going to happen with all this terrorist stuff going on? What's going to happen? What's going to happen with this new respiratory virus thing going around and this Ebola over in West Africa? What's going to happen? All these unknowns. I'm telling you, most of our society, people are just living with a measure, some more than others, but with some measure or level of anxiety over all the unknowns. And I'm telling you that as a child of God, you don't have to live that way. It's not all easy, but I'm just telling you, you can enjoy the ride if you learn to trust God and just believe Him. It's hard to enjoy the ride when you hit a rough spot. Many times when there's a serious illness, you know, it's the unknowns that brings so much fear and anxiety. I remember when Carmen was diagnosed with cancer. All kinds of unknowns. But the one thing we did know was the Lord was our healer. And I'm just telling you that even when you face those kinds of rough spots, God can get you through if you just keep trusting Him. Just remember, you don't know everything, but you know the one who does. Amen. You can face those unknowns and overcome. You lose a job unexpectedly. You know, the unknowns are one of the hardest parts of that. How are you going to make ends meet? What's your next job going to be? Are you going to have to move? What's involved? All kinds of unknowns. What's going to happen? And a lot of times, all those unknowns, they bring feelings of vulnerability, insecurity, helplessness, just beyond your control. They bring anxiety and fear. And a lot of times, the unknowns also just bring this paralyzing fear where people are afraid to step out, afraid to do anything, afraid to really, many times, even obey God because they don't know what's going to happen. And so they just end up staying in the wilderness. I don't want to take for granted, you know what I'm talking about. When the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they had the opportunity to go into the promised land, but because they were afraid of the unknown, they chose to just stay in the wilderness for 40 years until that generation died off. And you know what? There's a lot of people that live that way just because they're afraid of the unknowns. They're afraid to step out in faith and really obey God. And so they just keep going in the same old circle because they're afraid. In all the unknowns of life, you got to remember that the Lord is that one constant that you can always count on. He says, I, the Lord, change not. He's promised to never leave us or forsake us. He's always going to be there no matter what else is going on. He's still God, and He's still going to be there, and His Word will not change. He says, forever His Word is settled in heaven. There's a map that's on display in the British Museum in London. It's an old mariner's chart drawn in 1525. It outlines the North American coastline and adjacent waters. A cartographer made some intriguing notations on areas of the map that represented regions not yet explored. He wrote, "Here be giants, here be fiery scorpions, here be dragons." It was unknown to them. Eventually, the map came into the possession of Sir John Franklin, a British explorer in the early 1800s, and scratching out the fearful inscriptions, he wrote these words across the map, "Here is God." And truly, as the psalmist says in Psalms 139, it doesn't matter where you go, God is already there. And I just want to say to you that whatever unknowns that your future holds, God already knew about it. And He's already there. It's not a surprise to Him. Isn't that amazing? God's never been surprised. But our fear of the unknown can limit our vision, our faith, and cause us to miss God, just like the children of Israel missed the promised land. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says this, "He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap." In other words, if the farmer's just standing out there and saying, this wind is bad. Well, you know, it might rain and wash away my seed, and I don't know. They end up not ever doing anything. Why? Because of that fear of the unknown. And I'm just telling you that for us as individuals and really, as a body of believers, too, we got to stay away from that mentality, that kind of paralyzing fear. You know, now it's easy to say that building this building was a great thing to do because the unknowns are turning out pretty good. But a couple of years ago, it wasn't quite so simple. In fact, a couple of years ago, when the economy wasn't so hot, people were saying, there's no way, there's no way, there's no way. But with God, there's always a way. And I'm just telling you that we got to learn to look past the unknowns and what if this happens? When God's in it, we just need to trust Him and believe Him. be willing to walk by faith and just obey God. Well, what if? See, that's why you got to know you're standing on the promise of God. If you're standing on the promise of God, if you know what God wants you to do in a certain situation, then you just need to obey God and not say, well, what if this happens? Quit allowing the unknown to control you. Hebrews 11:8 tells us that by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. You know, we read the story now, and we think, yeah, big deal. All turned out great for Abraham, father of faith. Everything's good for him. But can you imagine for him when he got that word from God? God just tells him, leave your family, leave your people, leave the land, the place, everything that you've known all your life, and just go, and I'll tell you when you get there. Come on now, how many of you wives are going to go with your husband if he tells you that? Some of you would, a few. Some of you are thinking, whatever. But that's what Abraham did. He was willing to go out into the unknown just at the word of the Lord. And God rewarded him greatly. God had a great plan for him. Listen, what if Abraham would have been too afraid to face that first unknown? Well, I can tell you, you would never have heard the name Abraham. He would have been an unknown. Our forefathers who came to America to start a new life and worship God free from the control of government, I'm telling you, they had to face a whole lot of unknowns, but it was worth it. And you know, life's often just that way. We can play it safe, stay with what we know, or we can step out in new things. And you know, I've shared that word from Isaiah 43 about four times now since we've moved into this building, but God says, I'm going to do a new thing. I believe that's for us as a church, but I also believe that many of you, God wants to do something new in you. You got to be willing to step into new things and do new things. You know, some of you, you've never really been involved in a church. It's time for you to step into new things, get involved. Some of you have been involved and you're like, I don't know. Listen, this is a new thing. Quit remembering the old thing. He says, forget about it. I'm going to do a new thing. But I'm just saying that if you're afraid of the unknowns, let me make it easy on you. If you go to a small group and you just hate it, those people are creepy and weird, don't go back. But it's ridiculous to not go because you don't know if you're going to like it. Go see. If you try one, you don't like it, go to another one. You want to work in children's ministry, but you don't know if you're going to like it? Well, you know what? I know some churches do this. We don't. You don't have to sign a one-year contract. Let me tell you, if you don't want to be in there, we don't want you in there. So if you try it and you don't like it, say, you know what, this wasn't for me. But don't be afraid of the unknowns. You'll miss what God has for you. We know He's with us. We know Him. We know His voice. Like the old song says, we may not know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow, and we know who holds our hand. A lot of things I don't know, but there's not anything that He doesn't know. David, knew him this way. Psalms 23, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." See, whatever valley we go through, he's already there. Whatever shadows that we're going to face, he knows about it. I like what he goes on in verse 5, and he says, "He'll prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." He knows about the enemies, and guess what? He's going to take care of you, even when there's enemies all around. I'm just telling you, the unknowns of life are not too much for God. And if we would just learn to trust him, we can enjoy life, even with all the unknowns. Jesus tells us we don't have to worry. Matthew 6:33, he says, "If you seek first my kingdom, if you seek first my righteousness and my kingdom," he says, "all these things will be added unto you." You don't have to worry about all that stuff. But then in verse 34, Matthew 6:34, he says, "Do not worry about tomorrow." Now, how many of you believe that if Jesus tells you not to do something and you do it, that's a sin? Okay, six of us believe that. I'm going to pray for the rest of you. And I need a different word tonight. Okay, y'all just won't get your hand up, right? I get it. Listen, it's a sin to do something Jesus says not to do. And he says, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what's going to happen. I can tell you that as a pastor, a lot of the time in prayer requests, when I'm talking to people and praying for people, a lot of the time, the worst part of the situation they're dealing with is that they don't know. And it gets worse and bigger and worse and bigger in their mind. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Just look at today and believe God and trust God, and you'll get through this day. God will get you through the next one and the next one and the next one. Don't worry about tomorrow. When trouble comes, even when disaster comes, you don't have to fear. You can rest in him. I love these verses from Psalms 46, 1 and 2. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea." Did you know there's a giant asteroid that's headed for earth that could destroy life as we know it? I don't care if the earth is removed. We got a God who can take care of us. Quit worrying about life and all the unknowns and all this stuff. Trust God. Just turn it over to him. Realize your Heavenly Father is going to take care of you no matter what happens. The book of Genesis tells us about how that Jacob deceived his father into giving him the blessing that belonged to the oldest son, to Esau. And Esau gets so mad, he's so upset and bitter about it, he plans to kill Jacob. So Jacob, being the smart boy that he is, he decides to leave. And so he heads out into the unknown. Leaves his family and everything behind, and he heads out into the unknown. Kind of like Abraham did. I said kind of. But totally different. Because Abraham headed out into the unknown because of faith. Jacob headed out into the unknown because of fear. I mean, he just figured the unknown was better than what he pretty much knew, that his brother was going to kill him. So he heads out in fear. Abraham headed out in obedience. Jacob headed out because he had done something wrong. He had messed things up. But this is what it says. As he's traveling, he has a vision. In Genesis 28, I want to read 10 through 17. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head. And he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father and the God of Isaac, and the land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. First of all, Jacob realized that God was there. And in your unknown, you need to always remember that God is there. Now, I want you to think about this. Jacob had totally messed everything up. He had made some terrible mistakes. And yet God still has a plan for his life. And when you have messed everything up and everything's falling apart and you don't see how anything can ever work out for you, you need to know that God has a plan B. Yes, you heard that right. It is not plan A. God didn't make Jacob do stupid things, but God still had a plan. God didn't choose for the children of Israel to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. That was their own stupidity. But God had a plan B for Joshua and Caleb and for that next generation. I'm just telling you that when you've messed everything up, God still has a plan. And he still loves you. He's still for you. And so you face the unknowns of a messed up life, of bad choices and dumb things that you did. You need to know God still loves you. He's still with you. He's still for you. The second thing that happened was that he was reminded of the promise of God. Now, these promises were given to his grandfather, to Abraham. But now these promises are being spoken to him, and he's being reminded of the promises of God. And when you are facing unknowns in your life, you need to remember the promises of God. You need to be reminded of the promises, because that's what will get you through. You can count on the word. If he says it's so, then it's so. But you gotta, you need to know what the word says. See, you can't know everything that's going to happen. But here's what you can know. You can know the word. You can know the promise. And man, does it make a difference when you already know it. I know, when the wheels come off and you get your Bible out and start playing that game, where you close your eyes and put your finger on a verse and read it and see if that one does you any good. No, that's worse. You're going to die. You need to do another one, Listen, I know so often God, by the Holy Spirit, directs us to the passage when we need it. But I'm just telling you, it's so much better when you already know the word, when you've been in the promises, and when those kinds of times, unexpected things come, you got a word already, you know what to do. Now the Lord told him in verse 15, he says, I'm with you, I will keep you wherever you go. And what if you just remembered that in the unknowns of life? The Lord's going to keep me wherever I go. He told him he was going to bring him back and that he was going to bless him. And I'm telling you, sometimes we just need to let the Lord guide us through. Even though we don't understand what's going on, you just trust him. He'll get you through. Got a couple of verses for that. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. See, we can trust him and let him guide us through the unknowns of life. But here's the real key, is that you know him. In Acts chapter 17, I'm not going to read it. But in Acts chapter 17, Paul is talking to men of Athens, and they He says, I see that you are religious. I keep telling y'all, we live in a very religious country. Almost everybody you know and you meet believes in God. Very religious country we live in. And most of them consider themselves to be Christians. But Paul saw that they had an altar to an unknown God. And so he tells them, this unknown God I'm declaring to you is unknown to them. Unknown to a lot of people in our culture. Even a lot of people who claim to be Christians, they don't really know him. They know some made-up version of him that they've kind of put together and conjured together from different things over the years. But they don't really know the God of the Bible, the one true God. And I want to tell you, this is the most important thing in the unknowns of life, is that you know him. If you know him, you're going to be all right. In fact, Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. John 17:3. Now I'm going to close with these two verses from Jeremiah. All the stuff that you might think you know, stuff that you might think you could brag about and tell people, there's only one thing that's worth bragging about, and that is that you know him. This is what the Lord says, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, nor the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches, but let him boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness and justice and righteousness on the earth, for in these I delight, declares the Lord. You know, even in those few verses, God describes himself quite a bit differently than the way a lot of people know him. But that's who he really is. He is kind and just and righteous altogether. And I just want to encourage you tonight. You're going to face unknowns. There are going to be things that happen that you no way you would have ever expected to happen. But God will be there with you. And if you'll trust him and stand on his word, you're going to come out all right. He'll work it all out for you. Well, stand with me and let's pray. Father, I just thank you that in every challenge and battle of life, Lord, and the things I never saw coming, you've been there for me. And I thank you, Lord, that for us as a people, you're preparing us for great things in the days ahead, to be a people of faith, Lord, to stand and to move forward, Lord, when you speak. And Father, I just pray that in this hopeless society, Lord, that we will be a people of hope, that we will shed the light of the gospel wherever we are, Lord. Lord, that when there's hopelessness, Lord, we'll bring hope into those situations. And Father, I just pray that in our hearts tonight, there's a fresh hunger and desire to know you better and to walk with you each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give you the opportunity, if you need prayer tonight, maybe you're facing some unknowns right now. Some things have happened, or maybe you got some situations where you're saying, I don't know what's going to happen. If you want special prayer tonight, as we dismiss, I just encourage you to come to the front. I'd be glad to pray with you. There'll be other prayer partners here as well if you want prayer. So I just encourage you. You don't have to leave feeling anxious. You can leave that right here at this altar area as we pray together. Lord bless you. You're dismissed. If you need prayer, you come on down.